Is the world failing Ethiopia? The UN approves an independent investigation into suspected war crimes in the Tigray conflict. But the Ethiopian government won't cooperate. So who can step in to help stop the war? This is Inside Story. Welcome to the program. I'm Darina Bugeda. Ethiopia's Nobel Peace Prize-winning prime minister promised the conflict in Tigray would be quick and easy. Abiy Ahmed even went to the front lines to rally government troops. But a year on, the fighting is intensifying with reports by Tigrayans of torture, rape and other atrocities. A joint UN and Ethiopian government report found all sides may have committed war crimes and crimes against humanity. But rights groups say that investigation didn't go far enough. The UN's Human Rights Council has now approved a team of three experts to conduct an independent investigation. The conflict has created one of the worst humanitarian crises in the Horn of Africa.
The humanitarian impact of the conflict is increasingly dramatic. Acute food insecurity now affects more than 9.4 million people in northern Ethiopia, according to OCHA. Within Tigray, 5.2 million people, that is roughly 90% of the population, are in need. Only limited UN-organized humanitarian supplies have been able to enter Tigray since July, including food and vital medical supplies. In June, OCHA estimated that at least 400,000 people in Tigray were living in conditions of famine.
Well, Ethiopia's government called the abuse allegations misleading and said it won't cooperate with an investigation.
Multilateralism, after all these years, is once again being hijacked by a neo-colonialist mentality. Ethiopia is being targeted and singled out at the Human Rights Council for defending a democratically elected government, the peace and the future of its people.
Let's take a look at the key events in this conflict so far. Fighting began in November last year when Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed ordered a military offensive against the Tigray People's Liberation Front. He said it was in response to attacks on army bases. Following months of fighting, Tigrayan fighters recaptured the regional capital Mekelle in June. By July, the TPLF entered the neighboring Amhara and Afar regions to the south. In October, the government launched a ground offensive to repel the rebels. The TPLF responded by recapturing the city of Lalibela earlier this month. The year-long fighting is estimated to have killed thousands and displaced more than 2 million people. Let's now bring in our guest. Joining us from Amsterdam in the Netherlands is Gebrekristos Gebreselassie, who's the manager of Tighat.com. That's a website documenting the war in Tigray. From London, Donatella Rivera, senior crisis advisor in the crisis response program at Amnesty International. Also from England is William Davison, who's the senior Ethiopia analyst for the International Crisis Group. And he's in Cambridge. Thanks so much for joining us on Inside Story. And just to let you all know that the Ethiopian government, in fact, didn't respond to our request to join this particular panel. And we wanted to ask them about the UN approving an independent investigation into suspected war crimes in the Tigray conflict. So, William Davison, I'll come to you first and ask you, why do you think this investigation has been launched now?
I think it's as a result of the continuing war, the continuing reports of atrocities, and because of concerns that have been expressed that the investigations so far, obviously conducted by various organizations, but notably by the Ethiopian Human Rights Commission, sort of autonomous institution of the federal government, and the UN human rights body, some concerns that investigation, whilst useful, was rather limited in terms of the places it was able to conduct research, and therefore didn't provide a thorough accounting, especially of some of the crimes that were committed, alleged to be committed inside Tigray by the Ethiopian soldiers, Eritrean soldiers, and also forces from Amhara region during the first phase of this war. And then, as I mentioned, there have been reports of continuing atrocities. And now, since July, the war has been concentrated outside of Tigray, primarily in Amhara region. And there have been numerous reports, including by Amnesty, Human Rights Watch and media and others about war crimes being committed by fighters from Tigray. So I think it's the lack of thorough investigation, certainly the lack of any sort of comprehensive accountability for any of these atrocities that has led to this decision and the creation of the commission.
Yeah, we're going to get into some of the reported war crimes that have been documented by groups like Amnesty International in a moment with Donatella. But first, Donatella, on this particular report that's being launched by the UN, this is something that Amnesty has been calling for a long time, and I know that you welcome this measure. What are you hoping it will achieve?
Well, yes, we've been calling for the establishment of an independent investigation for a long time, because it's been quite clear from very early on in the conflict that the scale and the seriousness of the abuses was matched by the unwillingness of those who are supposed to be holding the perpetrators accountable to be unwilling to do so. So we're more than a year into the conflict, which, you know, continues to be described as the Tigray conflict, but is now spilled well outside. And in recent months, we've seen TPLF fighters committing more and more abuses, including war crimes, rape, looting, summary executions. And the leadership of the TPLF has been shameful in the responses that it has issued, absolutely denying that such abuses have been committed by its fighters, and criticizing groups like Amnesty International and the investigations that we've carried out, even though when we carried out similar investigations into human rights abuses and war crimes by government forces, Eritrean forces, Amhara militias, the TPLF didn't see any problems with our methodology. So we've got two sides, both of which are obviously responsible for war crimes and possibly crimes against humanity, right, and other gross abuses, in denial about the behavior of their fighters, and
okay,
clearly
and speaking
unwilling
of, speaking
to do
of
anything
being,
about it.
Okay, Donatella, just on this particular resolution, though, I mean, it did pass, as we're saying, but not surprising that Ethiopia's government did object to it, and it's accusing the UN body of being used as an instrument of political pressure, and it's also pledged to not to cooperate, as you know. How will this impact the work on the ground?
I mean, ultimately, the fact that it has taken this long, it's because politics have been sort of more important than principle until now. And finally, that equation has changed. But clearly, the Ethiopian government has previously refused to cooperate with the human rights investigation launched by the African Union's human rights body, the African Commission on People and Human Rights. And they will do their best not to cooperate with this investigation also. So what is required is pressure and political will by the international community to use the leverage to force both the Ethiopian government and the TPLF to cooperate.
Okay, and that brings me to my next question
to
Gebre Christos. How would you assess the support or the enthusiasm from the international community in particular to pressure the government as well as the TPLF into allowing sort of international monitors to come in and to assess the situation?
I'd like to first correct a few things. It's not the TPLF, it's the Tigray government. It's an elected government, and it's the Tigray government that's speaking. I think this is just wrong to characterize this as a TPLF, a political party. Having said that, they have been calling for independent investigation, so they welcome this, and we, the broader Tigrayan community, welcome this development. It's a positive development. We will see how things will unfold. But clearly, the first signs are that the Abiy government, the regime, has refused It has rejected it, and it is saying that it's not going to cooperate.
Right, but my question is, will the international community pressure the government into allowing this investigation to go ahead?
Well, we will see. I think they will try to pressure, but there are precedents that don't show that this will happen. And the most relevant one is the Eritrean case. In 2015, the UN Human Rights Council did the same on Eritrea. There was a commission of inquiry. They did investigations, eventually establishing some facts that crimes against humanity have been committed in Eritrea. But this research was done all outside Eritrea because the Eritrean regime refused to cooperate and to allow them entrance into the country. And since Abiy is running, in some manner, the Ethiopian state now, the same thing will unfold in Ethiopia. They will replay these tactics and strategies to undermine the investigators, but also to really frustrate them to refuse to discredit their work. Okay. So I think this is going to happen.
William Davison, what strings do the international powers have left now to play on sort of the different parties? And when you look at the role of the AU specifically, how much political legitimacy does it have right now when it comes to Ethiopia?
I mean, unfortunately, I think, you know, this this conflict and the continuation of it is an indication of the lack of leverage that the international community has here. There is no reason to think that this is going to change simply because of a decision of the UN Human Rights Council. I think, you know, the approach that the federal government has taken from the outset of this war is to describe it as a, you know, domestic law enforcement operation, therefore trying to insulate itself from any outside interference. That has continued throughout the war. In recent months, we've seen a massive increase in campaigning about alleged external meddling with the so-called No More campaign. This is all designed to prevent the sort of scrutiny and the sort of leverage that outside parties are trying to bring. And I think, you know, the primary problem that we have here is that from the Ethiopian federal government side and its allies and supporters, because of that positioning they've adopted, because of that campaign that is underway about alleged, you know, contraventions of Ethiopia's sovereignty, any investigation into human rights abuses that has any significant international involvement, particularly Western involvement, will be automatically classed as illegitimate, lacking credibility by the federal government and its supporters. On the Tigrayan side, it is the absolute polar opposite. Any investigation into human rights that is connected to the Ethiopian government or any Ethiopian entities that have not opposed the war will be considered as lacking objectivity and therefore credibility by Tigrayan actors. So I'm afraid the chances of this type of investigation really doing anything to establish consensus and bring the parties together here is very minimal.
Donatella, the panel of experts will reportedly have a year to establish the facts and circumstances surrounding these alleged violations and abuses. You work from Amnesty International and you publish these types of reports. How difficult is it to actually access information? And as you know, with regions in Ethiopia being closed off to journalists and human rights organizations?
Yes, investigations are difficult because we are not allowed to be present on the ground. And that is because the Ethiopian government does not allow us to be present on the ground, not because we don't want to. We've tried repeatedly. So it's difficult, it's labor intensive, but it's also possible as the numerous report and the wealth of material that we've published shows that it is possible to investigate. I think it's important to separate the kind of initiative that could bring about a consensus, end the conflict, bring the warring parties to the table, and this is not such an initiative, that this is not the mechanism for that, What this mechanism can and must do is to investigate abuses, collect and preserve evidence with a view to holding those responsible from all sides of the conflict accountable. And it won't be tomorrow. It never is in this kind of conflicts. It may be many years down the line. But one thing is for sure, that those who are responsible for perpetrating violations and war crimes directly, or for having any chain of commands over those who do, must know that they can't be assured of a retirement without being brought before a war crime tribunal somewhere. It may be in Ethiopia if the situation changes, or it may be in another country.
Right.
So that's, you know, the aim of these mechanisms is to collect and preserve evidence. And also, if I may, in terms of correcting some of the statements that have been made and at least nuancing them, the fact is that both sides, the Ethiopian government and the TPLF, have had very similar responses to reports by Amnesty International about rape and extrajudicial execution and other war crimes. They praise them and retweet them on social media when they are about the other side, and they try to discredit by saying the methodology is flawed and this is part of an international conspiracy when it targets them. And both sides have used such despicable approach.
Okay, let me just jump in there and bring in Gebre Christos to talk about the mechanism, in fact, of let's move away from this particular UN investigation and just get your point of view on how you assess the situation today and what is the mechanism required to bring all sides to the table, so to speak? Or is a military solution the only solution here from the point of view of the Ethiopian government, as well as the Tigrayan rebels?
No. I think that the Tigrayan forces have been very clear from the very beginning. They have been calling for inclusive dialogue to bring this conflict to an end. It is the Ethiopian regime and the Eritrean forces, the Amhara forces, that have refused to do so. And I think the solution eventually is going to be a dialogue, but the Ethiopian government has unattainable objectives to basically exterminate an entire people, and that's what they have been doing.
What are you basing that on, though? I mean, these are claims. What are you basing this on?
Well, this is an openly said claim every day. Is he saying this? This is basically what they started with, to blockade people, to deny them medication, food, massacre them, bomb them. There's nothing now. There's no crops. They are all being destroyed. What do you want? What more evidence is needed for a genocide than what is happening in Tigray? And I like to say here, by the way, that the guest from the Amnesty International is trying to kind of create a kind of parity of crimes. It's wrong. And Amnesty International has done wrong in the case of Tigray by coming up with a hastily produced report on Mai Kadra, which has been used to perpetuate this crime throughout this war. And they haven't apologized for that yet.
Donatella, I'll give you a chance to respond to that claim.
All I can tell you is that one of the very serious war crimes and possible crimes against humanity that I have personally investigated, I traveled all the way to the camps in Sudan and interviewed women and girls who were gang raped by Ethiopian soldiers, Eritrean soldiers, and Amhara special forces and Fano militias. And when we published that report, the TPLF praised it. In recent weeks, I have also interviewed women and girls in different parts of the Amhara region who've been gang raped by TPLF soldiers, fighters, And when we published some of those findings, we will publish more in the near future. The TPLF responded saying that our methodology was flawed, even though it was exactly the same methodology that we used when we interviewed Tigrayan survivors. That's the unfortunate
William Davison, jump in there.
War crimes.
William Davison, jump in there for us, and also just put this into context for us and tell us what a prolonged war in Ethiopia would mean, not only for Ethiopia, but for the region as well.
Amnesty's research is being conducted remotely, whilst it sounded like the other research was conducted physically at the camps. But it's absolutely correct, as Donatella is saying, that both sides make similar response to these allegations. And I think there's just a huge opportunity for the parties to do this because of the incredibly restrictive information, environment, the lack of access. And then there's just this incredible propaganda war raging with the situation. But I think it's also worth noting that, if this, when this commission is set up, indeed, as Gebrekistos is saying, the Tigray leaders from the beginning have said that what is needed here is an independent investigation. So it's correct to say that they've been denying recent amnesty reports questioning the methodology, but they have welcomed an independent investigation of everything. Now, in terms of the bigger picture here, I absolutely understand that this type of process raises the possibility of long-term accountability. That is a little bit hard to envisage at the moment, certainly in terms of Ethiopian domestic processes. But also, just it's hard to imagine a longer term accountability when we might find that when there is eventually a political resolution to this conflict, there is also a process of not going for sort of all out justice as part of a process of political reconciliation. I think the other point to make here is that while it's a very good thing that the UN Human Rights Council has set up this commission. For the reasons I stated before, it is unlikely to impact the conflict, which is raging at the moment. There is no sign of the necessary concessions from either parties here. It has become something of an existential struggle, with the Tigray forces and leadership believing they have suffered a genocide and are therefore engaging in an anti-genocidal military campaign in response. And the Ethiopian Federal and Amhara and allies side saying that response threatens the integrity and the sovereignty of Ethiopia.
Right.
So unfortunately, despite these processes to set up accountability and investigation, we are likely to see continuing human rights abuses the longer this conflict goes on.
Gebrekistos, do people have any sort of hope, people that you speak to have any hope that a ceasefire can be achieved, or are they resigned to the fact that this might go on for a long time?
We are all hoping, but I don't think there is a hope that this will happen. I think really we are missing the big picture here. This war is started with one aim, to totally exterminate an entire population. And this is declared. It has been said many times. Already 1.2 million Tigrayans have been removed, killed, and displaced from Western Tigray. And it is in total blockade. There's nothing getting into Tigray. There's no banking, there's no medicine. And I really sometimes wonder what type of genocide we are waiting for if this is not a genocide. On top of that, they are bombing every day with drones and war planes. So since they started with this aim, and they have been using every tactic, using the Ethiopian Human Rights Commission to accomplish this, to whitewash crimes. And they thought they have established their version of history.
All right.
And that's why they are opposing this new investigation into the human rights
violation. I'll have to leave it there. We've run out of time. We thank you very much. On that note, thank you so much, Gebrekistos, Gebrselassie, Donatella Rivero, and William Davison. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, you can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is AJInsideStory. For myself, the whole team in Doha, thanks for watching. Bye-bye for now.